Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Local Business Network Hour. Local Business Network is Michigan's most powerful business referral organization because we are truly committed to maximizing referrals for our members and because we have the experience and systems necessary to achieve that goal. Over 13 years of experience in building, training, and supporting business referral groups has resulted in a referral generation program superior to that offered by any of our competitors. Join Al and Chuck with today's show. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, this is Al Crawford. I'm waiting for Chuck to call in. Not sure what's going on. He's down in Texas. I'm up here in Michigan. For all the local Michiganders, hopefully you are enjoying the thaw that we've had the last few days, and ultimately enjoying the ridiculous amount of potholes that we have. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know. Maybe I'm oblivious to what it was before, but I honestly don't remember the roads ever being as bad as they are right now. It's just unbelievable. I don't understand. Anyways, so I'll just talk a bit and see if Chuck's going to call in, and hopefully he will, and we can move on. What I wanted to start with today was to actually talk about some of the new people that have just joined Local Business Network. For our audience, basically, Local Business Network is in Southeast Michigan. It is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. And we have, in Michigan, 38 chapters. And one of the things that we do is that we offer three different member training classes each month. And so they vary in times and locations and stuff. And so I just got back from a class that I did over in Plymouth this morning. And I come back and get it home in time with about 7 minutes to spare to do the show. But one of the things that I love, absolutely love about my job is to help people become better networkers. And there's nothing that makes me feel better than when I get done with my class. And one of the things that I ask people at my class is, what did you get out of this? What did you like about it? And there's always a variety of different things that people share, but I've never had a person say, I didn't get anything out of it. What I really pride myself on is helping people become better networkers. And if you belong to a networking group, if you do face-to-face networking, and you have not gone through training, you probably have no idea what you don't know. And it's staggering. One of the exercises that I do in my classes is I will have everybody do a 60-second commercial. And if you network, you've probably done a 60-second before. But what I do after that is I then will ask questions of the participants in the class, and I'll ask a question about each of the people. And really what I'm looking for is when I'm hearing a 60-second, is going to be, you should be motivating me on wanting to help you. You should be telling me who you're looking for and why, and with an explanation or a story that's going to back that up. And so I do this about a little more than halfway through the class. I've done this class hundreds of times, so it's something where it's kind of an automatic pilot for me. But when we get to this part of the class, this is really where everything changes. And so the thing that I always ask the people is that you've given a 60-second, and now I'm asking strangers, people you've never met before, what you're looking for and why. And 99% of the time, they have no idea. So this person has been given a 60-second for maybe brand new, maybe a long time, no idea. But what happens is that the conversation is that nobody's ever given them guidance on what they should say and why they should say it. And what I love about that scenario is that the first thing is that, are you listening? When you go to your networking meetings, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you taking notes on the things that you're hearing? If you're not taking notes, then you're not paying attention. And so that challenge that I always have is that when you leave your networking meeting, do you have a clear understanding of what each person in your group is looking for and why? If not, then it's probably not a very successful group, there's probably not a lot of referrals being passed. And so that's the first piece of this. So one of the things that I make sure that what we do is that a person will do their 60-second, and then what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to ask that question. And I remember back, I've been doing this class for seven years now, I guess. About 5 years ago, I started doing this part of it. And at first, people were like, he's being mean. He's being critical. The reality was, nobody ever challenged them on what they were saying. And so you had people that were being very unsuccessful in networking that had been doing the same thing forever and never understanding why. They thought it was everybody else's fault that they weren't getting business. The reality was is they weren't asking for anything. They weren't given any motivation as to why I should find that person. You know, I'm looking for anybody who needs anything, and I want five of them. Well, that doesn't work. That's horrible. So one of the things that we do at LBN is that we make sure that everybody goes to this class so that when you're at your meeting, everybody understands what their role is. And their role is that when you're doing your 60-second, my role, I'm your salesperson. My job is to listen to you and have an understanding as to what you're looking for and why. And then if I don't understand that, I should be having a one-on-one with you so that I can understand more about that. In return, it's pretty simple. I'm asking that you listen to me and that you have an understanding of what I'm looking for. And so that as we go through our daily things that we do, each of us are coming up in each other's mind as to how we're going to refer each other. Sounds simple. The reality is hardly anybody does it. Hardly anybody does it. And this group I had today, amazing people, absolutely amazing people, great, great people, but typical as far as networkers go, that they never really knew why they were saying what they were saying. And some of the feedback that I got in the beginning after we do our 60 seconds is, okay, I didn't know what that person was looking for, but I know what everybody else is looking for. And then when we actually went through the exercise, what everybody realized is that nobody knew what anybody was looking for. Two reasons. One, people weren't being clear and concise of what they were looking for. And the other thing was people weren't paying attention. So here's what you got to think about. If you're going to a networking meeting, regardless of where it is, whether it's part of LBN or not, you've got to be focused on what the people around you are saying. And you've got to take notes. You absolutely have to take notes. People that don't take notes, they say they have a photographic memory. 10 minutes from that moment, that information is gone. It's the reality of it. So you take notes. The key in understanding all of this, though, is that if people aren't asking for something clear and concise, then I don't know how to help them. Example, I have a carpet cleaning business. My carpet cleaning business is called Neat and Clean. And if I just say, hey, if you know anybody who wants a carpet cleaned, let me know. What does that stimulate? What does it do? Well, one of the things that you want to think about are what are the recent jobs that you've done? What are the recent projects that you've done? And what was the outcome of that project? Two things come to mind for me right now. Well, actually a lot of things do, but two things specifically. I got a call last night, and with all the rain we got, a lady my wife works with had a bunch of water in her basement. Called me. In a half hour, I was over there. 3.5 hours later, 300 gallons of water later, I've got the carpet good to go. So how do you take something like that and make it a 60-second so that it's going to be something that can be usable in networking? And basically, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Al Crawford. I'm with Neat and Clean Carpet Cleaning. And today, I'm looking for folks who have carpeted basements that because of a sump pump or because of some other issue may have a water backup. Well, I may actually able to go into that home and get the water out, disinfect it, make sure there's no odors, make sure there's no water, and can do it in a very timely fashion. In fact, last night, I was able to go out to a house in Macomb and in 3.5 hours actually have the carpet where you could walk on it. So that's the idea behind a 60-second and how it should function and how it should be. I'll give another example. A lot of times with my carpet cleaning, I'm dealing with people that have animals. And it could be dogs, cats, whatever the case is. but typically there's issues with urine. And that's pretty common. I mean, for anybody listening, if you have a pet, you may have urine issues with your pet. And so one of the things that I did when I started this is I'm like, okay, I smell it, but how do I find it? And once I find it, what do I do with it? And so I started doing some checking, and what I found was that you can actually get a black light. You can buy for carpet cleaning, you can actually buy a black light. It's a LED, very bright. And then I then have some UV glasses that I wear. The cool thing about this is that it can be totally in the room. And when you shine that and look through the UV glasses, any kind of urine, it lights up. It's like fluorescent. And so it allowed me to be able to walk into somebody's house and instead of looking around, looking for a spot, to actually use these glasses and use the flashlight to be able to identify these urine spots. Why is that important? Well, if I'm carpet cleaning, and my job is to get any stains out, but odors are a huge issue. And so what I did is I said, here's a problem, here's how I identify it, and how do I fix it? Well, then I started looking at different chemicals and the different things that I could do so that not only could I find it, but ultimately I could get rid of the stain, I could get rid of the smell. Now, here's the deal, is that nobody cares. Nobody cares how I did it or why I do it. It's the fact that I can do it. And so if I'm going to give a 60-second about that, hi, I'm Al with Neat and Clean, and today I'm looking for an introduction to people with pets, specifically today cats. Many cats will mark, will urinate, will do different things, and you have no way of knowing where it is until your house ultimately has an odor to it. With my technology, I'm able to not only identify the urine spot, but actually be able to treat it, eliminate the stain and the odor. And then I'll share a story. I recently had a home in Troy that I went to that on the surface, there was just a few spots in one area of the basement, and that was all they wanted cleaned. Using my glasses and the flashlight, I was able to identify a whole bunch of different areas that the homeowner had no idea that there was any urine, and so I was able to point that out to my customer and then be able to eliminate the smell and the stain. So what that does is it makes you think that, okay, so do I know somebody who has a cat? Do I know somebody who has some pet odors in their home? Well, what that's going to do now is it's going to make you think about me and to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, I just heard this guy on the radio and he was talking about your situation. I know I was complaining about that funky smell and there's a guy that, you know, I just listened to that can actually come in and with his technology, find the stain, eliminate it, get rid of it. That's the way that a 60-second is supposed to work. That's the way it works very well. And it works very well for me. Everybody can do this. And so the key is, and I guess this is kind of where I'm going with this, is that if you belong to a group in which everybody follows that, then it's a lot easier to give and get referrals than belonging to a group that doesn't do this. So that if you're going to your networking meetings and nobody's taking notes, nobody's paying attention, then I guarantee nobody's passing referrals. And when I talk about a referral is an actual introduction to somebody, not handing somebody a piece of paper with a name on it. That's a lead. If you're networking, you're paying for it in time or money, and you have somebody giving you a lead, you got to really look at that and say, what am I doing? The idea behind LBN is about giving an introduction. My expectation is that if you're going to refer me, you're calling me and asking me a question, or you're qualifying that lead. Hey, Al, you know, I've got a client who's looking to, they're looking to list their house. Do you think you could come over Saturday and clean the carpet? Yes, I can. And my question, are there any pet issues? No, there aren't. Okay, so I know the stuff that I need to bring so that I'm able to actually truly go out and take care of that so that by the communication that we have, there's never any miscommunication. If that's not the way you network, then you're kind of missing what's going on. Oh, Chuck's there. Hey, let me grab him. Hang on. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's okay. I was just kind of talking about this morning and kind of rolling through the process of the 60-second. And so I guess to kind of bring you into this, into the conversation, the thing that happened, I had six people this morning, you know, at the class, and the thing that was amazing was that every person did what they thought was a very good 60 second. And because they'd never been offered any guidance or training or anything, in their eyes, it was really good. And then when we started going around and asking questions about what each person had asked for, it was funny because the first person, nobody listened to. Like, nobody had a clue. And so, you know, what I basically shared was that that first person that's called on is always in the worst position because they're under the most stress. And then the people that are there are trying to figure out who's going to go next, who's going to be called on next. So their ability to listen to that person drops quite a bit. Nobody other than me had any idea what this guy was looking for. And so, and that's pretty typical. So I go to the second person, and two of the ladies in the group said, okay, for every single person left, we know exactly what they're looking for. I said, okay. So we went around, and the reality was they had no idea. Because what ended up happening was we had people that were very, very embedded in their industry and that they talked industry speak and were losing everybody and what was going on. And so by the time we got around, you know, going through the exercise of sharing the story and asking the questions and stuff, and all of a sudden all the lights come on, the one lady, it was pretty interesting because she said that she's not networked for a couple of years and never understood why she never got any business until today. and it was something where she just said, my mind's blown. She goes, I never thought about it from this way. And so she was so happy. She said it was the best 3 hours she's ever spent in her life. Because she just didn't know. And she had gone through the kind of the same thing where she joined a group and they put her in a group and she had no idea why she was in the group she was in or anything. And then when we got into it and started asking the questions and saying, do you know what this means? And what this lady did was amazing. She has an amazing trade that she offers, but nobody understood. So it was cool. It was kind of cool in that exercise to go through and all of a sudden the lights come on. And then all of a sudden you can see everything's starting to kind of pop for these people. But the cool thing was that everybody was brand new. Like, everybody in the class was brand new. So it was cool. It
brand
was,
new
was
to networking as a whole or brand new to LBN or brand new to networking as a whole?
No, brand new to LBN.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were all brand new to LBN, but had been very frustrated. Some of them had been very frustrated in other things they'd belong to, and one basically said this was their last chance. This was the last thing they were going to do before they stopped. And so it was pretty cool to go through that and kind of see the lights come on. But it's always interesting for me is that first person is always, I feel sorry for them because it's always the same. I mean, I do the class three times a month. It's always that first person that I always kind of feel sorry for because I know it's going to be horrible, you know, for them. And it's, you know, there's a bunch of strangers. They're, you know, they've never met these people before. They're standing up in front of these people and they're doing their best. And, but because they don't know why they're asking the things they're asking and they don't really know what the purpose of a 60 second is, when they're able to see that and can kind of get the gist of it, man, it's so much easier. And that was the response. Out of the six people, I think five basically said the 60 second. And that's typically about 90% of the people. They say the 60 second is the thing that they had totally backwards on how it was supposed to work. So that's all I was babbling about while I was waiting for you and Chuck.
Yeah, interesting point on that first person. The interesting point that you make that people aren't listening to them. I think that's probably a little more prevalent in your training classes than it is in a typical LBN meeting because,
absolutely.
You know, once you learn how to do this and once you, the other people in the room understand how to do this and they come prepared with their presentation. So they know what they're going to talk about. they don't have to be sitting there panicking, thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? And, you know, exactly how do I want to phrase this so I make it, you know, the best possible and so on and so forth. Once they're more comfortable with it, they're listening to the entire presentation. And really, what they're listening for is what they can do to help this person. And so
right.
you'll find with a good, educated, experienced LBN chapter that you don't just give a presentation and then go to the next person. There are questions. People are listening, and they do want to get the information out of this presentation that they want, that they need, so that they can help that individual. So they will ask questions. And I love to see that happening. I love to see people querying the speaker to find out a little bit more about what they said, or a little bit more about exactly what they meant, or a little bit more about how they can apply that information when they go out and doing some networking and maybe looking for opportunities to generate referrals. So that excites me when we get that interaction going on in the meetings. So,
right, and that's kind of what I'm kind of leading these guys to be able to do, because especially for somebody new, is that it's always those first couple of meetings are always really tough, and because they don't really know, and what they're doing is they're watching people who got this down. You know, they're talking really well, they're clear, they're concise. And here's this, you know, this poor person that's never really done it before, or has never done it the right way, and it can be pretty overwhelming for them. And so, you know, I'll have sometimes, and I'm sure you have it too, Chuck, where the person doesn't have anything. They're like, I don't even know what a 60-second is. And mm-hmm. and I'm like, that's okay. That's why you're here. As long as you know when you leave, you have one, then, you know, we're all gonna be good. But I think that, you know, that's such an important piece. And so I'm happy to dedicate the amount of time that we do in the class to be able to walk people through that. And having the role play, you know, kind of bit where it's kind of the interaction and asking for the stories and stuff from people, that always tends to be a way of them calming down, you know, because I'm not asking them anything hard other than what they do, you know.
Right.
So so what I basically started with, Chuck, when before you came on, was I was talking about, you know, how we are different as far as what the expectation should be for someone going to a networking meeting, and what the expectation should be and what they should expect to get out of it. And so I kind of walked through that process in a chapter, and then I went into kind of giving some of the ideas of some of the stuff we uncover in the member training. So that's kind of what I talked about so far.
Okay. That sounds good. That's great. And, you know, there is so much to be learned in those classes, and you know, it's important that people get to that class as quickly as possible. I get frustrated with those people that just don't go to the classes and then start complaining about not getting anything out of LBN. Well, it's because they haven't gone to learn what they're supposed to be doing and
right.
how they're supposed to, you know, be sharing information with people in a way that they can use it to help them. Nobody's going to help you if they don't know what to do. And if you haven't given them the information they need to be able to help you, don't expect them to help, you know.
Right.
So it's really important for people to understand that whole process, and understand how to do a 60-second and be prepared to do it effectively and to continually change it up and give people new information so that there are new ways that they can think about helping you, et cetera. And so it's exciting stuff when they get it.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, I think I can pretty much help anybody. I mean, I really haven't gotten stumped. But mortgages are, you know, that was my bread and butter for 24 years. And so when I get a mortgage person, you know, in there, and I'm able to kind of give a little bit more, you know, of those people, And so it was something where this was a person who had actually had been in the industry for a long time, but hadn't really been in sales before, and really saw it from the underwriter standpoint, not from the salesperson standpoint. And so we had great, great conversation, you know, after the meeting as well, on some different tips and some different things, you know, that she can do to be able to kind of use that as a guide. I mean, because to be able to say, geez, not only am I, you know, am I a loan officer, I used to be an underwriter. I mean, to me, that identifies you as an expert, you know, because it's like, how much does your loan officer know? You know, are they new to this? Well, I underwrote for years before I began doing this. So I'm like, that's something, that's a feather in your cap. You can absolutely use that, but you got to think about it as a salesperson. That this is an amazing thing. That's not, because I think that in the industry, you're like, oh my God, you're an underwriter. Holy crap. Well, no, that's not. From our standpoint as a consumer, that brings value to me. That brings knowledge and experience and knowing that that person is going to be able to, you know, understand the nuances of a mortgage that, you know, somebody who's new wouldn't understand. So that was
right.
You know,
and so she really has two transitions to go through. One, first transition is to stop thinking like an underwriter and start thinking like a lender, a mortgage lender. And the second transition is to stop thinking as a mortgage lender and start thinking as a customer, and be
right.
Telling the customer what the customer needs to hear, so that
right.
You know, so that they're getting across the benefits of working with them, so they, in a way that the customer is going to understand it, because if they don't understand it, obviously it's not going to be effective. So
right.
It's ultimately you got to get to the point where you're in the customer's head.
Right. Yeah. So that was fun. That was definitely was a fun session today. So I don't know if you've been watching the weather here at all, but basically we had a couple of warm days. So now every single road is undrivable. It's like basically every road is like the surface of the moon right now. It's the most ridiculous thing. There was 13 on I-75 this morning. There were 13 blowouts lined up on the side of the road of people that hit the same pothole, blew the tire out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's one thing I guess I've stopped thinking about down here in Texas. We just don't have those potholes. So we don't have the freezing and the thawing, so it's you can break up the highways. Which
oh,
you build them, they generally last a pretty good long time. So.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that, and I was like, I'm sure that you and your wife would be missing those potholes.
Yes. Well, thanks for thinking of us.
Yeah, sure.
So,
I'm sorry, buddy.
Our meeting, I had a meeting last night with our Frisco evening chapter, and such a great group, and they do a great job with their 60-second presentations, always bring us new information, and we have a credit repair person in that chapter that's done more to help me understand credit repair than anybody I've ever met in my life. I mean, this lady does a great job with credit repair, and she's does a very effective job of differentiating herself from the competition and helping us to understand how she's different, what some of the types of things are that she does different. Can't wait to hear her 10-minute presentation, because that'll allow her to get into even more detail on it. But last night I think she got 6 or 7 referrals, and you know, it's a good active group. It's only 8 people in the group, but you know, we need to grow it. But those that are coming to the meetings are really doing a great job of generating referrals, and those that are current members are doing a fantastic job of learning how to help each other. And so it's been a great group. We had a core group of 3 in there that does a lot of interacting with each other anyway, and then we've got a realtor that's doing a fantastic job. She had like 6 referrals last night that she gave out. And and some of the others, there were two or three in the group that had, you know, some issues in generating referrals. They wanted to, but they had no idea how to. And I had one-on-one meetings with each of them. And so they're now contributing on a regular basis, and you can see that they're getting better and better at it, more comfortable with it, and bringing more referrals every time, and consistently bringing referrals. So, you know, as you and I know, anybody can generate referrals. It's really just a matter of being trained properly on how to look for them and how to ask questions to have people tell you what they need so that you can refer them to someone that can help them and so on. And so it's great to watch the group come together, and the information that they're sharing is really extremely valuable. They like to kind of dig in and you know, find out more about what the person is saying, and yeah, but how do I apply that? What do I have to do? Who should I be looking for? Exactly how should I approach them? And that sort of thing. And then they're also sharing, this is how I was able to generate this referral. So not for everyone, but maybe, you know, for one out of five or one out of six, to give other people ideas and to help each other along in terms of that whole referral generation process. And as you know, for us, for you and I, that's what it's all about ultimately, is putting together a group that's capable of generating large numbers of referrals. And this group is just a great example. I think I haven't told the numbers up from last night, but the meeting before that, they had average 3.5 per member. So, yeah. I mean, they're up there.
That's
so
awesome.
It's just really great to see how they're picking it up. And it's kind of interesting to see what they're picking up out of LBN that seems to be helping them the most. They have all been involved in networking, and what they've stated, several of them have stated, is I love the structure. I love the fact that we're keeping track of referrals and we're talking about referral generation and how to generate referrals and how to do a better 60-second commercial and 60-second presentation or training. And so they really appreciate the fact that there's structure and people are being held accountable, and everybody in the group is participating, not just two or three. And so that's one thing that they have expressed that they really like. And another thing that kind of surprised me a little bit, because some of them are pretty darn good networkers, they didn't seem to have given much thought prior to coming to LBN about referring someone to a referral partner as a valid referral. They were totally focused on customers, and they weren't as focused on who are those people that I can build referral partner relationships that are going to bring me customers. And so I think that was a revelation for several of them, and they are now grasping that concept, which, of course, once you know that, you have more ways to help people. You have more ways to generate referrals for other members. You can introduce them to an ideal referral partner. You can get their foot in the door. And so that's something they seem to be enjoying, seem to be benefiting from, and everybody's jumping right in there. So the week members of the chapter are getting stronger every day, and we have a core group that's just phenomenal.
One of the things that you said was something that really kind of happened, you know, as well today. One of the people that was actually a new member of the class is actually an author. And what he talked about was one of his books. And it was something where So basically, you know, the people in the group were kind of like confused. We're like, how do we help this guy sell books? And so I asked him about a story, and like, give me a story of how this book actually works. And what he basically did, this one book that he wrote, it's addressed towards millennials. And it's in a retail environment, and it's how to help millennials with their attitude and their body language and their mouth, you know, that kind of thing. And I guess what ended up happening was Nordstrom's ended up buying this book, and they put it as part of their new hire package, and they watched their customer satisfaction skyrocket. And so basically, you know, we started talking about, okay, so what other industries would this work for that hire millennials? Well, we're talking about fast food restaurants. We're talking about these different things. So for him, it wasn't about selling a book. It was about introductions to groups of people that need the book. So if I want to sell one book, I want to sell a lot of them. And so, but if he hadn't told that story, because he kind of talked about his book, and I'm like, I got nothing. I'm like, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Right. How can we help?
Right. And so, but this book it's amazing. And so once he explained, you know, what the application of this book was, and this guy wrote this book, he's the author of this book. And so I was like blown away by this thing. And so all of a sudden everybody was excited. It was so funny. I think there was probably like six different things that came up and said, this, and he was like, whoa, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. But that's, you know, that's the stuff that I love when it pops, you know, at the class. But that, what you said was really important, is that people do need to understand that networking isn't just about asking for your best client, but it's also understanding who your best referral partners are and educating your people about who those people are. Because an introduction to your best referral partner can be 10 times the amount of volume you get out of your best customer.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, this group is really beginning to understand that, and they're asking for, they're doing a better job of identifying who their ideal referral partners are and how to approach them and you know, what they want us to do in terms of making the connection and so on and so forth. So they're just making it easier for each other to help each other. So, I mean, that's
right.
Really what it boils down to is your goal in LBN as a member is to tell people how to help you. And so whether it's finding a customer for you directly, which doesn't happen as often, or, you know, it may happen, but it doesn't, the frequency isn't as great as you running into someone who might be a good referral partner for somebody. And if they can make that connection with that person, it may not end up to be somebody they want to build a relationship with, but it might be. And if they find the right person, then that person might bring them, you know, a dozen, two dozen, three dozen, you know, 100 referrals over a lifetime of a relationship. So that can be so, so powerful. And just helping them to understand it is part of what we need to do as LBN staff members.
Right. Very good. So what else is going down there in Texas, Chuck?
Well, basically, you know, we have four groups here that we're building. As usual, when you first start out a group, it seems to be the same core group that gets involved. You know, we get the realtor, we get the insurance person, we get the mortgage person, and we get the financial planner, we may get a chiropractor. You know, those types of people are there from the beginning. They see it. They understand the need to work together. But then when you get beyond those categories and you want to build ultimately a chapter of 20 people, then you start bringing in some very diverse people. I mean, you may have somebody that's in marketing. You may have somebody in accounting. You may have a legal professional. You may have a specific type of a contractor, et cetera, et cetera. So now what we're going through is as these separate chapters expand, they bring in people that are somewhat unique. So, you know, we might have a plumber in one chapter, but no other plumbers in the other three chapters. So that plumber has the opportunity then to visit all three of the chapters, or all four of the chapters, rather. And so, and the people in those chapters, if they know about that plumber, can refer business to them, even though they're not in the same chapter. So, you know, right now one of the things I'm trying to do is to make sure that I'm exposing all chapters to the unique individuals that are in each chapter, right? So that we create those opportunities for cross-chapter networking. You know, initially, not much opportunity for cross-chapter networking because we only have three or four chapters. But as we expand those chapters, get more people into them, and have more unique professions in different chapters, there's more opportunity for that cross-chapter networking. And so now it's now I'm going through a phase where I need to push people out of their local chapters and get them to go visit other chapters, and vice versa, get the other people to come in and visit with them. So, but that's beginning to build. We're beginning to see more cross-chapter networking because there's greater variety of membership in the different chapters. And so they have a chance to reach out to someone in a different chapter that's not in their chapter. And so there's more value in going to visit some other group. So
right. Yeah, and what I actually had today, two of the people are the only people in LBN that do what they do. And so when I was kind of going through the cross chapter part of it, it was kind of like they couldn't even believe that that was even possible. You know, the author has nobody that does that. And then the other lady does HIPAA training and transportation training and all these different kind of certifications that nobody else does. And I was just kind of going through and, you know, explaining. So, you know, for our listeners, we give all of our members have access to our InPrintNet site that identifies their specific category. And what they're able to do is to look at our site and to look at the members of each other chapter and to visit the chapters that don't have a competing spot. And so, you know, I was going through it with these two guys, a lady and a guy, and they were just like, "You're kidding me," because they had always been under the other, you know, a mindset that you get to go to this one group and this is all you get to do. You can't do anything else. And I was like, no, that was the whole reason Chuck put LBN together. That's the beginning of why this whole thing came together like it did, was for those opportunities for those types of businesses. And so it was a really big change for, you know, both of them, because they were just not expecting to have that flexibility in visiting.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, people who are looking at LBN look at it and say, well, I can join the chamber and there are, you know, 150 people at their networking events, or I can come to this group that has 15 people in it. And they don't quite understand why they should go to, why they're going to get more benefit out of the meeting where there are only 15 people. And it's because of that real commitment that we make to helping each other. It's because every member in that chapter is going to be your part-time sales staff, and they're going to be seriously working to promote your business for you. There's a guy in that was in the meeting last night that has... he has a marketing business. He does a lot of networking. And he was making the comment that in the past, he's never really been able to promote the other people in those groups because he didn't really know them. He said, now I have a team I trust. Now I have a group of people that I know that if I send somebody to them, they're going to do a good job. I understand what this person does. I understand how they're different, they're better, how they're going to take care of this person. And now I've got these people out here that I've always had. They've always been there. But I've been reluctant to refer them to anybody because I didn't really know that. I didn't know that realtor in that other networking group I was going to. I didn't know that mortgage person. I wasn't confident. I didn't know how they were, how good they were, really. I just know that they come to a meeting every couple of weeks, and they do a 60-second presentation. They walk out the door, and I walk out the door, and we never talk again, except possibly if we do a one-on-one at some point in time. But never really a commitment to each other, and never a really true understanding of the other person, what they do, and why they're somebody that deserves the referral. But here now in LBN, I see it. I have a team, and now I see these opportunities. I'm going to jump on those opportunities and refer those people to people within the chapter because I know you guys. I like you guys. I trust you guys. Where there were no referrals before, where he did nothing, they were there, the opportunities were there, but he never captured them because he really didn't feel confident in giving them to anyone. And so now it's an entirely different feeling in this LBN chapter where everybody is really closely knit. They truly understand each other, truly see the value of the services they provide, and are aware of the honesty and integrity that they represent. And so now they're anxious to find referrals for these people.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting mindset that this change in mindset that you go through as you grow in LBN, as you grow in your chapter, as you grow in your relationships with the other people in your chapter, and just gives you so much more confidence in actually generating a referral.
Right. Very good. Very good. Yeah, it's exciting. I love the energy. Like, when I leave a meeting, I mean, I love going to our meetings. There's nothing better than that. But it's something where, for whatever reason, I just get a little more amped up when I leave the trainings. I guess it's 3 hours, and I like to see the other side of it. But it's cool to then go to a chapter and to watch that and to see that and to see, you know, those things that we're doing being used and being adopted and being beneficial to people. So it's just neat.
Absolutely. The topic that we chose to talk about in the news notes this week was really about, was not networking related, but it was really about the Florida situation and the problems we've had in our schools in terms of shooters coming in and taking over the situation and injuring or killing students. And so it's just, a part of the solution, just one piece of it, is to make sure your kids know what they're supposed to do. And so, I relayed the story of where I decided I needed to talk to my grandkids, and my granddaughter gave me the opportunity to have a conversation with her by raising the issue. And so I spent half an hour, 45 minutes going over with her what she had learned in school. Cause I'm of the opinion that the people in the school system are going to do the best job they can do to take care of these kids and so on. But there may be some things they miss. And, there's sometimes when you get into these formalized programs, they don't really get down to the personal individual. It's kind of a broad program. It's kind of a broad brush. and you're not sure that the individual student is getting the information they need or paying attention to it. So I took the opportunity to review it with my granddaughter and to really go into some depth on what they had told her to do in various situations and so on. And so, you know, I kind of threw some different scenarios at her. I mean, standard program is the suitor's in the hallway and you're in the classroom, what do you do? Or you're out in the hallway, what do you need to do to get to safety and so on and so forth. And we kind of looked at it from some different angles and talked about some different situations. And then that was last Thursday, last Friday. They had a school dance, and we had a rumor start that someone was there with a knife or a gun. And so my granddaughter was in a different room away from the dance, talking with another young lady about student government issues. And so a couple of girls came running in the room and, you know, screaming and yelling that there was somebody out there with a knife. And so they were grabbing their backpacks and they were going to go out and meet their parents. And so because we had just talked about it, my granddaughter said, "No, you're not doing that. You're not going back out in that hallway. We're going to lock the door. We're going to turn off the lights. We're going to get in the closet. And then we're going to call and see what the situation is or see what we can find out." And so she called the teacher on her cell phone. Turned out to be a false alarm. Somebody just started a rumor. There was no problem. But it could have been the other way around. I mean, it could have been an actual situation where there was somebody out there with a knife. And if those two girls had run back out in the hallway, they could have run into that individual and you know, the situation could have been very bad. So my point is that the parents have a responsibility here to make sure that your kids are getting the information they need and to you know, hopefully even get involved in the school and what they're doing and making sure that all the bases are covered, and you know, whatever you can do to you know, make sure that your child knows how to handle themselves in a situation like that. And so I was just extremely proud of my granddaughter and the way she handled it and so on. But the bigger issue is everybody needs to talk to their kids. We're as much a part of the solution here as the school system or the police department or the FBI or any of the rest of them. We have to get involved. We have to know what's going on. We have to make sure our kids understand, you know, what the various scenarios might be and what they should do and how they can best protect themselves. And so I just wanted to had to get that off my chest and share it with the folks, and so it was kind of a different topic for us to have in our news notes, but I think one that we all need to be thinking about and all that we all need to get involved with in one way or another.
Yeah, and I, you know, I guess I feel lucky. I'm not going to say lucky from that standpoint, but while my kids are both grown now, and my grandchild is just a baby, so it hasn't, you know, I'm kind of in the tweens part of it right now, but it just never really came up. I know there had been some, but there wasn't the panic that there is, I think, today. And I think what you said, Chuck, when I read that, I was really happy. I was really hoping you were going to be on today because I wanted you to share that. But it is something that we do all have to have that responsibility and to make sure we're aware. We can't just stick our head in the sand and hope it doesn't go away, because that school system, there was a family that was from Michigan that had just moved there because it was rated as the safest school system in Florida. So yeah. you really can't go by that, because I think that, you know, more probably in the, you know, in the rougher parts of town, there's probably more of a police presence. There's probably more of a, you know, of a presence than there is in the suburbia, where I think it's the, you know, nobody's even contemplating that happening. But that changed everything. In fact, Chuck, they just had today in South Lyon, the South Lyon High School, a kid went on Snapchat and posted that he was gonna do the same thing that happened in Florida, and he's facing 10 years in prison. Ten years.
You have to make sure that these people cannot have the opportunity to carry through on their threats, and you know, which brings up the situation of these you know, false alarms. These kids think they're being funny. Oh, let's tell everybody that there's a shooter in the hallway, or whatever, and we'll see what kind of panic we can generate. Well, you know, my granddaughter called the teacher that was there chaperoning to find out what the real situation was out in the gymnasium. So she got the information right away, and it was diffused, and they got the solution. But she could have just as well said, you know, I should call 911. Maybe nobody's called 911. Now, if she had called 911, then we probably would have had, you know, half a dozen police officers, a SWAT team, the fire department, ambulances, everybody responding to that school immediately, because they're not going to take, you know, they're not going to ignore that threat. They're going to respond to it right now. And so there probably would have been thousands of dollars spent just going on a false alarm here. You know, my opinion, that student and their parents should be liable for that money. But,
right.
You know, that's up to the individual community to decide what, you know, what they feel is right. But it's our you know, our lives are about our children and our grandchildren. They are the future. And we absolutely must make sure that we're taking good care of them and making sure that they have all the knowledge they need to do the best possible job of making sure that they're safe. And so ultimately it boils down to they have to make some right decisions on the spur of the moment. And they need to have this preliminary coaching. And I think part of my discussion with my granddaughter was that it reiterated things that she had been told in class, but, you know, was kind of not all of it stuck, not all of it perhaps she was paying attention to as closely as she should have, but we reviewed all of that, and so, you know, and she had to put it in her words, and so she then had the knowledge she needed to develop a plan of action and actually do something when she found herself in a situation which might have been life-threatening.
Right.
Turns out it wasn't, thankfully, but could have been. So,
for sure.
And she took all the right steps. So,
and she's proud of her.
I was proud of her, but, yeah, extremely proud of her. But, you know, I want every kid in the country to you know, to know what they're going to do and to be aware of the situations and to, you know, make the right steps at the right time, so that they don't, you know, get themselves in a situation where they can be physically harmed or killed.
For sure. Well, Chuck, we are out of time. So thanks for calling in. I'm glad you were able to be part of it for most of the show. For our audience, thanks for tuning in. And as always, God bless America. We'll see everybody next week. See you later, Chuck. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.